It is now time for Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme, as we say. Good evening. Special good evening to the man himself, Sluggy Dan. Good evening, Sluggy.
Manners and respect. Manners and respect. You can hear me good?
You can hear me good? Loud and clear, my brother.
That is what I'm talking about. Thanks a lot for locking on one more evening. Barbados, I absolutely love you. Thanks for all the messages, all the WhatsApp messages you sent. Thanks for all the phone calls as well. You had a really great show last week. We got a big up, Amber C, you know, she come on. She shared some very valuable information, especially that will help young ladies in Barbados and young men as well, the youth in general, but in particular, young ladies. And, you know, we can learn from her story, overcome so much trials, you know what I mean? And she was triumphant and sharing how her story can also help other young ladies, you know, and us as men, all of us, especially Black men who deem ourselves on proud Black men and protectors as well. We can do all we can to educate as much youth as possible, but we can also make a valuable effort to protect our women at all costs. You know what I mean? That is one of our mandates as men, and especially as Black men, and especially the Black woman. And they say that unapologetically. So a big everyone for loving the show last week. And I just want to thank Basie for coming. She come here again at the top of the show. You know, she can share a bit about her story and how she was able to overcome it. And signs, any ladies out there, any women out there listening, and any men out there, if you know you're one of these type of men as well in our culture, you know, our culture, our music, signs, our culture, the way we speak, the way we learn. Sometimes our culture can be very damaging. And I guess there's a deeper story to the way we are, the way we are as well. And that's why our special guest for today will share, our special guest today will share a bit about some Barbadian history. Oliver, we can look at a rich part of Barbadian history. And Oliver is going to tell you so much more about her. I just want to say a good evening to Leah Spooner. I just want to say good evening to you, Quick. And thank you so much for coming on the show. Good evening, man. Barbara, just hear your voice.
Can you hear me?
Speak again. We didn't hear you speak again.
Nothing.
Getting the technical difficulties.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're sounding a little better now.
Speak again, Leah.
No, I say good evening. Can you hear me now?
Good evening to you.
Hold again. Yeah, you can. Can you hear her good, Oliver?
I can hear her when she speaks, so I guess.
Okay, good evening to you. Okay, good evening. That is Leah Spooner, and Oliver is going to tell you a little about her later on. I want to say good evening again, Miss Amber C. Summers, better known to some people, known to me as Tamika. Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, great listeners. I am great, man.
The response from last week, but is something special that every time you speak, or every time, you know, the few times that you may get to speak publicly, the response for me is never surprising, but people are always pleasantly surprised. Was this something that you were always accustomed to? You find that when you speak, especially to the youth, young ladies and young men, as much as the other people like us calling last week, I got so much messages from young ladies, especially Amber, like you, that was always so with you when you share your story. I feel it because you share the story, the hardships, but then you are so educated now, you know what I mean? It's such a hard road you walk, but seemingly come on top of the mountain. I think it's that connection that young ladies especially have. But you always found that you had that magic, that connection to be able to reach people.
Well, you know, sometimes we have something and you don't know, you know, experiences taught me a lot. I've never expected that in this day and age that I would be bold enough to share my story as a way of helping. I always wanted to do it, But I never, you know, I didn't believe that this would be possible, because in this society we live in, you know, it's very stressful. People like to beat you down for doing what is right. They don't support you. But if you put up something, no, that is very, we said negative, to support you then. So that was the challenge for me.
Oh, and that's true. And because there's so much callers last week, and Ollie was not able to take all the calls. You know, we took quite a few. And thank you for calling in, and people are sharing about stories. Thanks for the calls, for sure, and methods and ways we can make our community better. Thank you so much for the calls, but we couldn't take all. But I found that the conversation that was going on, right, which was painful as well. In our culture, in our community, the behaviors by us men, that sometimes might be even celebrated. You know, like the way we call women, the way we holler at women, the way we sing, about women. Certain those behaviors, we had this conversation because we really show you, Amber, and it was quite a chilling conversation to have. And I realized that a lot of things we do that are normal, that are accepted, could be quite damaging. How did you, a young lady, how did you manage to go through these behaviors as a young lady, have to navigate them, live with them, but then come to realization, listen, this ain't good, this ain't cool, this ain't hip. This is not anything that anybody should be doing. And it was not religious, and it was not for religious reasons either. Because I find that, and then another thing that comes from the conversation, they find that when you try to live a certain way, people try to link it to a religion as well, which they don't know why. And when we get to talk to the history of Leah, we can get deep into these things. But tell us a bit about the signs we can look for, maybe in our family, Amber, or our friends, or our loved ones, or signs young ladies can look for in relationships that they can spot early and get out of. And how were you able to make yourself aware of these things to get out of it, so that we may be to help someone listening. And if you're listening now, 434-1790. I want you all to tell us some signs young people can look for in relationships that might be damaging. Because, you know, we got a lot of things we do with, like, these seats at women. Hey, girl, you know, we all the things we do, and it's not ever frowned upon. So people might see these things as normal, which is the normal things. 434-1790. I want you all to let us know some signs we can look for early that are quite damaging. Amber, the floor is yours.
Yes, please. Then, you know, when we look at the young people, the majority of the things that happen is basically the learned behaviors, what we would have seen before. You know, sometimes the younger generation get a lot of licks, because the older ones will say, oh, the young people this and the young people that. Majority of the things that you see young people doing today is learned behavior, but at an advanced stage. So things that they would just drink before, used to drink with the shop, young people drinking, you know, they smoke cigarettes, young people doing the thing. So it's not like the young people, you know, I was in that category when I said young people to see young people that. But everything we do is learned. We have to find a way to balance it and then try to correct it first. We got to correct it. So if it is that we come along and hear songs that had in things about women or men or whatever years ago, that the writers had it, you know, put in a way that if you ain't really listening to the song good, you will not understand. The people know that nowadays, they're putting it straight out. They ain't wasting the time. So if that them doing something new is something that was going on for a while, just they're more bolder, you know. And I find that the younger people, they take risks. They're risk takers. They're risk takers. So when you see like young girls dancing and stuff, I used to do them things too. I used to dance party hard in the finna. That they got many competitions that had anybody know me would know you going to the workout competition and they can win the competition. But at the end of the day, in those times we didn't have social media. We didn't have like all the recordings and stuff. But I believe if in those times, if they had them, I'll be putting somebody video somewhere and they'll be looking back and somebody say, well. You know, so it's like, you know, I think we gotta start like pointing fingers and seeing the young people this and young people that and things, because some of these young persons are asking for help, and this is the only way that they could ask for it, by doing these things, like seeking attention. That's how it is for some. I can't say for all, but there are some that I know that they are reaching out for help in that type of way. Like they want, you know, want to be seen or something like that. That's one of the cases that some type of domestic violence is taking place, whether it is emotionally, whether it is psychologically, whether it's physically. So those are some things that we really gotta look at. We just can't look at them as, okay, them just always book the place working out, or this young boy always book the place singing a lot of gangster tunes or whatever. It starts from somewhere. It starts from somewhere, and as long as if we don't find the root of the problem, we can just be pelting dirt on top of it all the time. Nice. And then they gonna fester back up again. So we gotta find the root and be honest. Nice. All of us are part of the problem. I was part of the problem, and I want to be part of the solution. So that's basically
nice. I love part. That. I love that. And quickly, I heard you mention about the domestic violence, right? And you could talk about abuse, right? And abuse don't always have to be physical. It could be emotionally too. Quickly, I want you to let me ask these questions that are coming in. Is it a way that we can spot if someone is going to be abusive extremely early before we fall too far in? And is there such a thing as too far in? Those two questions were for you from last week that it didn't get a chance for you to answer. Can we truly spot someone that is abusive from early? And is there such a thing as too far in? Those two questions before we go to our special guest. Thank you once again. I know you won't only experience it, but then you went and studied to educate yourself. And once again, we want to salute you. And thank you for doing the courses at the NTA too. We got to show to the NTA, big up them, training.nta.org.bb, big up them. Thanks for not only going through it and sharing your experience because of this stuff, but thanks for doing the training and the education needed to help us. So those two questions, can we truly spot it from very early? And is there such a thing as too far in? Those two questions come from Barbados. And once again, thank you, Barbados, 4341790. Before Oliver give us the bio and go to our very special guest and we dig into some Barbadian culture. Amber, over to you before you go. Thank you very much, my sister.
Yes, but every situation is different. So in my, I could talk about my situations where I was a victim of domestic violence, whether it was psychologically, emotionally, physically. There are times that we see things like, for instance, the person might shout at you. We shout back too. So it comes both ways, you know, but it comes, the one that really sticks is when you get that first lash, when you get that first slap in your face or the first cuff or the kick or something like that. That is the first sign that, nah, this ain't right, you know. But then sometimes you did so caught up with the person, or you would have done me that you might, you know what, I can spend the rest of my life with this person. Everybody make mistakes, you know, you might share it with somebody and they might say, man, don't worry about it. You're the first body that could to go through that day, you know, just forgive me and work it out. You know, somebody might tell you, okay, call your pastor, talk to your pastor about it. You know, it does those signs. And then that first time they would come and say, you know, I apologize, but I was real angry with you. You had me real mad. And I just feel it. I will lick you down. You know what I mean? But I love you. So that love you part is make you feel a little sweet. So you can say, all right, I forgive you. And then the next time it will be a cuff, a kick, and attempt to stab. So the signs are there, but we sometimes ignore them. Everybody's situation is different. I can only speak about mine. But in mine, I believe that mine was lack of love. I never had the love of a father, basically. So I was always searching for this love from men. I just wanted to feel this masculine love. So that was my way of finding myself in different relationships. There wasn't all bad, but when the domestic violence started, it went out to the point where I had to get up and leave. In terms of in too deep, it's all a mindset. It's all a mindset. Some people might just give up and say, you know, I just whatever happened to me. Some people might say, you know what, I want to get through this, but they don't know how to. So in terms of being in too deep, I don't necessarily say in too deep. My thing is more of if the person is willing to get out of a situation and need assistance and reach out to somebody, they will get out. But in too deep, the only thing you'll be in too deep is if it ends in death. You know, you can't come back from that part. But I believe as long as you're in it,
I love that.
You know what it is. You can get out. It is the choice is up to the person being abused, not the person giving lashing you or abusing you. You mm-hmm. have to make it. You know what? I deserve better, and you make that choice then to do better or find better. And I find that when we talk about these situations about domestic violence, we always try to help the person that is being abused. Quite really, we reach out to help the person that is inflicting the type of abuse. It goes both ways. Something gonna be happening to that person that causing them to feel that they're so powerful or want to control another person. So when we want to fix the problems, we gotta fix on both ends. The person being abused and the abuser. That's my 2 cents worth for today.
Nice. Nice. I love it. Absolutely love it. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very, very much, Amber. Big respect to you, and for sure, you know, we can do this here a lot more times. We can do this a lot more times, and you can keep bringing these touching issues to the forefront. Could you just give me another idea? When you speak about reasons for certain things, and I was thinking about things like therapy and how taboo things like therapy still is, you know, the average person still think that, well, they don't necessarily need a therapist. Nothing wrong with me. I'm not a mad person. I'm not insane. I don't need therapy. So I think things like therapy, we got to normalize too. So that's another conversation and that we certainly can have, and we probably look to bring on an expert, you know, an actual therapist. So thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for keeping the brain working, Amber, and wish you a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Manners and respect. Okay, Ollie.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. My brother, we have a special guest. We can begin. Just want you to tell Barbados a bit about our special guest before we bring her in.
No problem. Okay, Leah Spooner is a musician,
yes.
Upcoming poet and educator who is a past student of South District Primary School, the Springer Memorial Secondary School, and the Barbados Community College. Her musical journey started when she was in first form, where her first instrument was the rhythm guitar under the tutelage of Mr. Dane Bascom. Her next instrument was the saxophone, where she was a part of the wind ensemble at the school under the leadership of Mr. Roger Jordan, then Mr. Ian Webster, who later became the leader for the school orchestra of which she was a part of. She took saxophone lessons from Mrs. Tanya Maughan and has played at multiple events for the school, such as school functions, Agrofest, fairs, churches, and many more. After secondary school, she went to do the music program at the Barbados Community College, where her love for music deepened and took shape, and she gained a lot of knowledge about being a musician, how the music industry works, and the realities that musicians face in Barbados, such as the arts not seen to be Barbadians as a job, but as a hobby. And the reason why she has a love for music is because it is her gateway from all of her problems. She feels free when listening to music, and music is her passion and should not be taken for granted. In addition, she also wants to teach music, especially at the primary level, where not enough emphasis is being placed on music, and look at ways to contribute not only to the music industry, but but change society's perspective about the creative economy in Barbados. After college, she went on to study at the Erdiston Teachers Training College, where she recently completed the Bachelor of Education at the primary level. She has a passion for teaching and helping students, and it is there that she discovered that she could write poetry. She also has an interest in history, especially Barbadian history, after taking the cultural studies course at the BCC, which was taught by Nancy Jacobs, and also reading up about it in history books online. She also takes inspiration for her love of history from local historians. Know Your Caribbean, Bazodi Magazine, and Rhythm Tribe. Leah's future goals are to continue her musical journey in Barbados, contribute to the education system in Barbados as a teacher, writing poems, and becoming a better person. Ladies and gentlemen, Leah Spooner. Good evening to you, ma'am.
Yes, good evening. You can hear me now? Better?
There's a very heavy buzz coming through.
There's a lot of buzzing. I'm sure you might have to get you calling.
Yeah. Can you be calling?
Yeah. 434-1790 calling. Again, a lot of buzzing. Calling. That much. 434-1790.
4371-0. I think it's probably from you. Well, last time I used to give it that much feedback.
Okay, Leah, we're definitely getting a heavy feedback. So just give me a call here in the studio, 434-1790, and I'll put you right through.
Buzzing out here.
Yeah.
All right, mute 434-1790, 434-1790. That is Leah Spooner, musician, a poet, and now becoming a historian. She speaks a lot about Barbadian history. All she talked about the 1816 rebellion. I want to know if Barbados know about any of these things, Ollie. 434-1790, Barbados, you can call in too. We have more than one line.
Don't forget, Sluggy, we have the WhatsApp number 266-4862. That's 266-4862. I have a message here from Diana from Minnesota. She says, really appreciative of what Amber had to say. So that's Diana from Minnesota.
266-4862. Diana. 266-4862, that's the WhatsApp number. The call number is 434-1790. I want to know about these parts of history. Barbados calling, and got a shout out pawnbrokers. I have some AirPods from pawnbrokers and some giveaways as well. I want to know if Barbados know about any of this history, Ollie, so you can test them right now. I want any historical facts about the Crop Over Festival. Any historical facts about the Crop Over Festival, that's one. The 1816 Rebellion. Again, it's a Harrow's Ollie, the 1816 Rebellion. We have a drink also called the Kill Devil Drink. I want to know if any Barbados know about the Kill Devil Drink as well. And the music of the enslaved Africans during Sundays. Music of the enslaved Africans during Sundays. Oh, that sounds like Leah. That sounds like Leah. That's Leah on the line.
No, I'm still on Zoom, but I just want your number again.
434-1790.
1790. Mute. Right, mute, good. 434-1790, Leah. I'm testing Barbados right now, Ollie. Testing Barbados. I want to hear if you know anything about the 1816 rebellion. They had a drink called the Kill Devil Drink. I know this one is going to stump. I know this one is going to stump them, Ollie, because I know they haven't heard anything about the Kill Devil Drink in Barbados. The historical facts about Crop Over, you should at least. We should at least all know at least 5. I want 10, but you should at least be able to give me 3 or 5 historical facts about Crop Over.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sluggy, we have Leah right here on the line.
Good deal. Leah, you there? You got, you know?
Yes, you can get, yes, you get me, no.
All right, good. All right. I'm not going to ask, we're not going to ask about historical facts yet. We want to see if anyone going to call in. But connecting all of these together, you know, such a young age, still have your life, history of Barbados, and you really dive deep into the history of Barbados, and still you are a musician and educator, and Dennis still heard that you are an aspiring poet as well. These three things, then at what stage, at what age did it click to you? These three things, I want to be a major part of my life. Did it happen in primary school, secondary school, tertiary education? When did it click for you, Leah, that these three things are going to be the core of who we are? Because it's quite interesting for me, and especially as a young lady, you know, like these things that we all men study. You get me? Especially the young ladies, to make these things the core of who you are, and when did that click for you? And welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. That really clicked. The music aspect for me clicked, I guess, when I was young, because I always had this thing for music, because I used to sing. Sing these songs on television, especially on CBC, especially when it was around heading towards the news night.
What was your favorite song? What was your favorite song to sing when you were young, coming along the television? What was your favorite song to sing?
Favorite song?
Favorite song or advertisement? You don't mind. Your favorite memory from that time?
Yes, I guess. Well, some of these songs I used to sing. Well, I don't have a particular favorite song, but when Rihanna used to come on TV, I just was singing some of the lyrics on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's inspiring to be young and seeing Rihanna. You have it inspiring to be young and seeing another young Asian lady, you know, doing it so big. That had to be very powerful for you, especially as a youth yourself, to see.
Yes.
Right, go on. And you see that love come for you from very small. Go ahead.
Yes, that love for music came from me from a young age. And then it really matured when I got into secondary school, when I was introduced to music and music theory and all the aspects of music. So I didn't get music theory that well when I was in first form. I think it was the first and second term that I didn't really get music theory. It was not when I went to lessons with Dean Bascom that I really got into this music thing, especially music theory, because that also helped me. Music really helped me with the musical theory, if I could put it in those words.
Yeah, and that name you just mentioned, he's a genius here, Dean Bascom, one of the greatest. We have, you know, theory or playing by ear or the history of music. Dean Bascom is one of the absolute greatest. And Barbados, in case you don't know who Dean Bascom is, he's the drum major for the police band. The drum major for the police band. So anytime you see the police band, you see the drum major. And he there flipping the mace up in the air. That is Dean Bascom. Great musician. So that had to be a very good foundation you got. Poetry now, and then history, Barbadian history. Where that came from, where that inspiration comes from, the poetry first, and then the history that you dove into. Where did the love for two of those things come from, and who were your inspirations for wanting to take a deep dive into those two areas, poetry and history? And ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Leah Spooner, a musician, you know, an upcoming poet and
upcoming historian as well. You know, she really take a love for Barbadian history. Miss Leah Spooner, right here on Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, the nation's number one station, VOB 92.9 FM. So poetry and Barbadian history, where those two loves come from, Leah, and who inspired you to get into these areas?
Right, the poetry aspect. All right, so I wasn't really into poetry when I was young, though. I remember me and literature did not agree so good in secondary school, because I remember failing it. It was not until, like, in my second year at Erdiston, I remember we had a workshop in 2019, a literature workshop, I should call it that, with Nyla Emoja and Linda Dean. And I remember attending those sessions, because I remember I attended one on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, and a Friday. And then that following week, I attended two sessions. I can't remember the days I attended those, but I remember attending those sessions. So the first one was poetry week, and I was introduced to the different the different types of poems that have, such as, I call it hakus. I probably pronounced the name wrong. And then you have sequins, and that's when I got into writing sequins. Because I found that sequins, although they may seem easy to write, but it calls for some vocabulary in terms of meanings, like trying to rhyme what you have, the words you have, and also trying to write a sentence to describe the poem that you're writing. So I found that I had a talent of writing sequins, and Linda Dean found that out. She said that you have this talent of writing sequins, so I will ask you to continue writing sequins, because I found them very interesting, how you write them, how you give life to them, how you express your thoughts about a topic. So I remember writing one about Barbados, the three faces of Barbados, I should call it. One dark, one light, and one that is very much, nobody don't really know about Barbados. So the one that is dark was focusing on the aspect of how some people may have seen Bajans. The other one was written like how Barbados is just seen as this magical Caribbean paradise to visitors who come to the Caribbean. And I remember one written that was probably based on what people do not know about Barbados. So I would say my poetry, how I got into poetry was because of Nelly Emoja and Linda Dean, and then I was probably introduced to Edward Kamau Barfit, because my mom has a book by him on her bookshelf, which I checked out. And I found his work was very much inspirational. I found he took you on a journey to how you see things, because I remember him writing some poems on the different countries he visited in Africa, and he gave life to those poems. It gives you a different thought about how these countries in Africa are seen in his eyes than what is being seen in the media. So that's how I got into poetry. Now, the Bajan history, or Bajan history. I have this thing for history when I was in third farm at Spring. My mom has a bunch of history books. So I found myself being interested in like the Amerindians, the Europeans, the Africans that came to the Caribbean, and so on. But I found that over time, those topics, like, it was quite repetitive, so that kind of died down until I took the cultural studies course at BCC with Nancy Jacobs, and she enlightened me to the different aspects of history that even I did not know of. So after really taking one of her classes, that was the first class. I remember her first class. She was talking about Africa, and she talked about how the Africans were coming to the Caribbean even before the Europeans. I was like, why did I not know this in secondary school? Why did anybody teach me this? Why didn't anybody teach me this knowledge that Africans were so intelligent? And yet, in secondary school, you're being taught about how they're not so intelligent. The African villages are not really developed. And when you look at countries in Africa that have been existed over thousands of years, they had more architecture. I pronounced the word wrong. More development than in European countries. So yeah, that was a food for thought for me. And then too, I also got inspiration from like the local dance group Rhythm Tribe, how they were using dance to educate others about the different aspects of African history, such as the there was one focusing on Malcolm X, and there was one focusing on the stool, on the, well, the Akan stool that's part of Ghana culture. I can't remember the name of what history aspect they were focusing on, but I know it was a female warrior that they were focusing on, and then they were focusing on another aspect of history that was dealing with Black Panthers, the Black Panther movement of America, and an Egyptian queen. I cannot remember her name right now, so I'll probably have to go and check back. And later down...
All right, no problem.
Right.
And later down.
Later down, I was introduced to a page known as Know Your Caribbean, that is run by a St. Lucian-born named Fiona Compton. Right, she has this page on Instagram dealing with aspects of Caribbean culture. Her page really focusing on decolonization of aspects that are seen as or deemed as so-called negative or evil in today's society. So she really dives into aspects of Caribbean culture. She don't really focus in on just how, well, she focuses on how this came about and why we need to like protect it. So I found that I got this inspiration from her page, Know Your Caribbean, and that really led me to really focus on Barbadian history, learning more about Barbadian history. And I would say also my time at Erdiston really taught me that we need to introduce Barbadian culture to the classroom, not just use it for tourism's sake, but just use it to educate our young people.
Cool. Thanks. So listen, when you start tapping into Barbadian history, right, Leah? What was the first part of our history that really captured your attention, and what the interesting thing about Barbados? The first thing that really drew you in.
I would say the first thing that really drew me in was probably our cultural aspects. Especially the first thing I really wanted to do was talk about walking up. And looking at it from how did this thing came about, why it came about, why is there so much negativity towards walking up in our society from the older generation? And even before doing walking up, I was looking more towards like the different rebellions that they had in Barbados, like the 16. It's not a rebellion, but it's rebellion plots that they had in Barbados, such as the 1649 aboard the rebellion, the 1675 rebellion plot, and
16. You ain't that far about 1649.
Yeah, I went that far. Around last year.
That is deep. Yes. So listen, you see Ollie leaning, they are listening more. Ollie love it because of this history. I saw Ollie love it. Tell us something about 1649 in Barbados. That's interesting.
So 1649 rebellion plot. So that was the first ever rebellion plot that happened in Barbados. That was planned out by enslaved Africans, and that was around the time where there was a shortage of food on the island. Yes, that was around the time that there was a shortage of the food on the island itself, and that was planned out by the enslaved Africans. And the plan was to kill all the white planters, all the white inhabitants on the island, and to make themselves the masters of the island at that time. And so, around that time, the enslaved Africans kept this plot to themselves until one of their own, who was a servant of a man called Judge Horsall, he revealed the plan to him, and then he told the other planters about this plan to massacre all the white planters, all the white inhabitants on the island. And so the white planters seek out the ones who were behind this plot and kill them. This is a similar thing that happened in the 1675 rebellion, too.
Ahead. In 1675, it was due to a food shortage as well, in 1675?
No. That was more planned out by the Coromantes, who were the Coromantes slaves who were brought to Barbados. And it was led by the leader of that rebellion plot was a man called Kofi. He was a man called Kofi.
This for me, Leah, boy, this is interesting because, you know, of course, we will hear about rebellion of Bassa. Of course, we hear about that. But these persons that you're mentioning, obviously, before the one these people at all, so that's very interesting. So you see, this man Kofi, he was an African that was brought to Barbados.
Most likely, because they were bringing, because the, wait, because the Europeans used to bring in Africans from different countries such as Angola, Benin, Gambia, Guinea, Nigeria,
Ghana.
Right, Ghana, Togo, and another.
So all these different Africans who used to come to Barbados?
All of them came to Barbados during the slave trade.
So listen though, that's interesting. So that means these different African nations, at least some of them live on and then had children. Obviously, yeah. So I mean a lot of the makeup in Barbados is from various parts of Africa. That's interesting. So you say in 1671 that was?
1675. And that was planned out by the Kuramati slaves. And that at the end of the once they have massacred the white inhabitants, they will put a guy called Kofi.
You got a lady on hold. Sorry to pause you, Leah. You got a lady on hold. She have a question for you. Can we patch her in, Ollie? Good evening, ma'am, and welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Brain. We have the incredible and extremely intelligent Leah Spooner. You have your boy, Ollie and Sluggy. Thanks for calling in. Good evening, ma'am.
Yeah, good evening to everybody in the studio. Yeah, I want to ask the lady a question. If she knew the history of the Second World War, then the submarines that was in the Barbados Sea, and they sabotaged two ships, if she knew the name of those ships, because I was telling some people about that day, because my grandmother talked about that, and also Margaret Knight, David Thompson's mother, she was interviewed on VOB, a time back, and she talked about the submarine that sabotaged these two ships, but I can't remember the name of those ships. I would like to know if the young lady know about that history. Then they had the Second World War, that the submarines were in Barbados waters that sabotaged these ships that was bringing food to the island.
Nice. We getting some history.
Yes, I heard about that. I remember, so far, I haven't really dived into the World War II aspect during Barbados, especially around Barbados, but Beijing Things, a website called Beijing Things has information about Barbadian history too. Okay. That's probably where I may have come across it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you repeat the name of that, please, Leah, for us?
Pardon me?
Can you repeat the name? Beijing Things.
Beijing Things. Yeah. Okay, then. All right. Thank you very much. Because I was
so
telling...
Caller, before you go, you said that your mom used to tell you about that?
Yeah, your grandmother. I always remember...
So can you tell us a bit? Can you tell us a bit about what she used to tell you about that thing, please, if you wish?
Well, she talked about the submarines that came into the Barbados Sea and destroyed the ships that was bringing food out here. And then the soldiers, you know, Barbados was represented by England. And I think France, it was trying to take over Barbados. But England succeeded. So that is why that we wasn't a colony of France. So there's a lot of history that the old people taught us.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of history that we lost. We got to find it back, though, man.
I remember David Thompson's mother, She was on VOB. I see VOB have those recordings. When they was talking about the World War II, I saw that there in studio, and I was glad if they would stick it up and play it back for the younger generation, because a lot of young people out there need to know the history of Barbados, and a lot of them really just ask questions and so, but it's just some people don't know about those things. It's obviously that the young people ain't interested, but a lot of young people interested in a lot of things.
I agree. We need to know that history, and I'm sure Leah will come back again. So much history to talk about, and I'm glad, ma'am, that you are enjoying it.
Yeah.
And this is the reason why we do it. It's for you. Yeah. So thank you so much for your call this evening. Because you got to read about that history about the submarines and so on too. I read up a little about it, and then see about a CNS Lady Drake. Between 1920 and 1942.
Yeah.
Read about a ship called the Lady Drake. Drake, Lady Drake. CNS, Lady Drake. So that's something you can check out too. CNS, Lady Drake, 1928 to 1942. They have a bit of about it online. So that's one of the ships.
Yeah.
Well, the ships come in, and one was sunk by a torpedo.
Yeah.
So is that a part of our history that I'm sure we could dive into World War II in Barbados. Mama,
yes,
I appreciate your call.
Before you go, ma'am, I got a message on WhatsApp. It says it wasn't Barbados, it was Castries St. Lucia, where a German submarine bombed the ship Lady Nelson. So maybe there's something we can check on to see, just to confirm.
Okay. Because I think this date was off of Barbados. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you too, ma'am. Have a beautiful
evening. Thanks for the call, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome call, Leah. Awesome call. So you speak about, it's 1675. The first one was 1649. When was the first one? You got your dates for Barbados. You listening?
Right. The 1649 is the first rebellion plot.
Right. And then 1675?
Yes, 1675 was the second.
The second one plot. By Coffee?
Yes, by Coromanti slaves on the island at that time.
Yes. Awesome. 1649, 1675, beginning some Barbadian history. I'm totally enjoying the show. So then we move on to the 1816 rebellion. What you found so interesting about that time, and you could give us some facts about the 1816 rebellion. See the phone lines are going crazy. Someone wants to speak live on air, Ollie? You try to patch him on. No, you have someone ready to speak. Someone want to speak on air live. So go ahead. We'll be passing through. Leah, you can tell us a bit about what you found out about the 1816 rebellion in Barbados.
Right. So, this is new information to me, but it was wrong. Well, 2 years ago during the pandemic, I remember having to do a documentary for one of my courses for Erdiston. And my group and I did a documentary surrounding slavery from then to now. Let me just stick a pin there. There is also another rebellion plot that happened in 1692. And that was a conspiracy by three enslaved Africans on the island at that time. Unfortunately, it didn't go as planned because somebody revealed the plans to the boy planters, so that happened. Right, so the 1816 rebellion, as I was saying, we did a documentary on slavery from then to now. Unfortunately, we didn't get, every not all the information could be placed inside that documentary, but I had a chance to interview Robert Morris, who is also a historian, who has family connections that I later found out. He was telling me that there are several things that that need to be updated or need to be changed surrounding the 1816 rebellion, and that he revealed to me that a man named Joseph Pitt Washington Franklin was actually the mastermind behind the 1816 rebellion, and that Busser name is actually Bussell, B-U-S-S-O, or B-U-S-S-O-E, and that at that time, the plantations, three plantations are actually one vineyard, Sunbury, and another plantation. Wait, Bailey's Plantation, sorry. I got the name right. It's Bailey's and Vineyard Plantation, and another plantation was one. So it's actually Bailey's Vineyard and another plantation. And that Busser, I can still call you Busser for Beijing's sake. Busser was actually carrying out the messages to other enslaved Africans on the island to signal the start of the rebellion. So he was actually carrying out messages from a guy named Jackie, who was also played an important role, according to Robert, in the 1816 rebellion. I may have to check back information on that part, right, to encourage them to come out and actually participate in this rebellion, because this rebellion is about their freedom from the white pantocracy. So Robert Morris.
I absolutely love it. Go ahead, you're talking about Robert Morris?
Right. So he was telling me that he was finding out some more information about Joseph Pitt Washington Franklin, that he was the son of a white planter and a slave woman named Leah, and that when his father died, he tell his three other sons that to give Joseph the money and money he should have, that is part of his inheritance, but the brothers did not really agree to his father's wishes, so that led Joseph to come up with this scheme, with this plan, to not only get back his brothers, but to get back at white barbers for the cruel enslavement of the enslaved Africans. So,
oh, nice. Oh, we have some WhatsApp messages coming through. Ollie, we give the callers some love. We have a message from a caller as well. The caller also said it was Cornwall, sub off Barbados. Awesome. And that's what the submarine. And then we have someone send us some information about the Kill Devil drink and crop over.
Yes, sir. I'll read the entire message if you want.
Some love.
Sure. It says, good evening, all. Have a wonderful night and great week. Crop over is a harvest festival.
Thank you.
Yes, crop over is a harvest festival, which used to be called Harvest Home, which stated on the sugar plantations during slavery. The original crop over tradition started in 1687 to mark the end of the yearly harvest, but was widespread throughout some other islands in the Caribbean. Many of the celebrations were organized and sponsored by planters who used gifts of food and liquor as a means of reinforcing and excusing the continued enslavement of their labor force. With the harsh effects of World War II on Barbados, the annual celebrations ended. The Crop Over Festival was launched on June 1970, but wasn't officially called a festival until 4 years later. It was revived and organized as a national festival in 1974 by local stakeholders, including Julian Marishaw, Flora Spencer, Emile Straker, and Livy Burrows. The Barbados Tourist Board, to attract more tourists to the island and revive interest in local folk culture. It says, Kill Devil is rum. Daru is another name for rum, and it's also called acid, as in fire, the acid, fire one. And the WhatsApp message also says, I heard about the Cornwall ship being sunk off Barbados. And there was also another caller who mentioned that it was the submarine Cornwall off the coast of Barbados. Over to you, Sluggy.
Nice, nice. Absolutely love it. Leah, you could tell us about this Kill Devil drink. Because I mentioned it and told them, I mentioned it to see if anyone actually knew. And surprisingly, someone actually knew. And you also got someone giving us some historical facts about Cropover. So it shows that certainly have a lot of listeners, people calling and people messaging in and tuning and interested in what we are doing here. So we got to thank you so, so much. And we have so much things to talk about. So I'm sure we can do a part two. There's a lot of history, and I'm sure Barbados absolutely love this. You have the, how do you pronounce this name? Beniba? Beniba? Pronounce that name for me.
Which name?
Benebah.
B-N. Wait, say his name again.
Benebah.
Oh, Beniba.
Beniba story. We need to talk about that. So we need a part two for sure. We need to talk about Beniba story. We need to give them these 10 historical facts about Cropover. And we need to dive into music of the enslaved Africans during Sundays. So requesting a part two for us to talk about those things, the Beniba story, 10 historical facts about Cropover, and music of the enslaved Africans during Sundays. We need to do a part two. Next, we can talk about those things. I love that Barbados is so interested in this show. But we just heard someone on the WhatsApp tell us about the Kill Devil drink. Where did this Kill Devil drink come from? What was the reason? What was the reason for this drink, this Kill Devil drink? And what time period are we? What time period are we talking about?
Kill Devil drink definitely came about like in the mid around. Probably the early, that was around the time, probably around the time when Barbados was getting up its sugar, the sugar industry in Barbados in like the 1600s. So Kill Devil, I actually found out that Kill Devil drink is actually rum. And rum actually came about from the fermenting of the sugar cane juice. So that I actually found out through...
That is serious name, though.
Yes, it's the white planters who actually call it that name.
Oh, that is dread. I guess. So, wait. We were the devils because we that was getting drunk on the rum. So, we were the devils.
I don't know how that name probably came about, but I guess the planters used to call it Kill Devil was because I guess it's a profit to be made out of making rum, because since Barbados is like the home of the first place to ever create rum in the Caribbean, and to make a profit off of rum, so probably call it Kill Devil because it probably kill you when you drink too much.
I love this here. Like, Ollie, when you think about how much we don't know, it made me feel weird. And Barbados, the one you hear this here, that's gonna be vulnerable here, right? Like when you hear about stories from the 1600s and then the 1800s, Ollie. And then when you realize how much I don't know, how much we don't know collectively, how many people fought, how many people did great things that totally unnoticed forever. And these just a couple hundred years, it's made me wonder about my own self and my own legacy and what I'm doing, you know, and really made me look at life a lot different, because I have people that fought so hard. I'm talking about Barbadian history alone, my brother. I mean, people that did so much for Barbados and our history alone.
like these few people that Leah mentioned who are totally unnoticed, uncelebrated, not heard about or spoken about.
And what,
you know,
what
you may question yourself, like, what am I doing?
What I love about it, Sluggy, for me, life is about learning. I love to learn. I mean, love to learn. But what's really impressed me, Sluggy, is that this lady sounds young. It sounds like a very young lady. She's taught you and I, and I'm very sure she's enlightened a number of Barbadians that have been listening tonight. So I'm very impressed that a young lady could take the interest.
Extremely impressed, man. Yes, sir. For sure. Definitely. For sure. Sure. Totally impressed, Leah. We have until 3:40. So we want you to tell Barbados a little about this Beniba story. I want you to enlighten us about this Beniba story. First, I want you to tell us what it captured your attention, and then you can go into some details about the Beniba story. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Leah Spooner, who, like Ollie said, is teaching him and I today a lot about our history, Barbadian history, which helped to shape our nation. So Leah, I want you to tell Barbados and educate the listeners a little about the Beniba story and why this story captured your attention.
Right. So I found the story online when I was going through, because I came across a news article from The Guardian talking about the Barbadian archives, newspapers dealing with, like, newspapers such as the Barbados Mercury and Gazette, and the Barbadian newspaper, and those papers were written by the white upper class of Barbados at that time, the white pirocracy in Barbados, and that those papers dealt with issues surrounding such as parliament, there were some about importation of goods, the selling of enslaved people, runaway slaves, enslaved at the back of the newspaper itself. So I came across the news, well, this story about Beniba on The Guardian. So I checked out that story on a website called Endangered Archives Program. Because actually, if you type in the Barbadian newspaper, the first thing will come up with is the website to access the whole Barbadian newspaper articles, and those articles are from 1822 to 1860 or 1863. Last time I checked, I probably have to check back. But the Barbadian newspaper has been around for years, but the scanned versions of it run from the 1822 to 1863 or somewhere about. So probably have to check that back. All right, so the Beniba story. Wait. So I'll just run it through quickly. So
yes, please.
It happened on a Saturday. It happened on Saturday, the 23rd of August, 1834, where a police officer of District Number 3, who was named Thomas Green, who took up a loose goat from the market and carried it back to his station house. And the goat actually belonged to Beniba, who was the apprentice labor of Mr. John P. Maynard, and was given to his daughter at that time by a man named Richard Granum, and he was a slave owner. So she went to claim the goat because it belonged to her. Green refused to return the goat unless she paid him a quarter dollar. But she did not really complain. She didn't want to pay him because she wanted her goat back. And he didn't really complain with her wishes, so she went back to the market, which vented her frustration about not getting back her goat. And when he heard that she was abusing him, probably verbally, she was not really abusing him, but talking bad about him, and he confronted her, and she was really enraged at what the injustice she faced. She went directly to him and confronted him and talked back at him, and probably said some words in between there. and he grabbed her with the tail, dragging her back to the police station, and she resisted by biting him on his hand with her teeth. Right, and then he pulled her towards her. Yeah. So then he pulled her towards him and shook her with his knee, her abdomen, and around that time she was pregnant to him. And then she threw the officer
on the floor. Fought a lot.
She threw him on the floor, and then other people started to gather and then threw themselves on Green and Beniba. And he would have been murdered if not been late for two officers, one named Constable Perryman and one named Policeman Elder, who rescued him. So when the incident was over, he was brought to the magistrate and was sent to prison. And however, he was released on the basis of a certificate from a doctor named Dr. Clear, stating that the woman was not in no immediate danger, but she was pregnant at that time, and that kick could have killed her and her baby.
Well, we certainly fought a lot in Barbados, and there's a lot of heroes that are unsung. And thank you so much for part two. We'll look at 10 historical facts about the Crapola Festival, all 10. And then we'll look at the music of the enslaved Africans during Sundays for part two. Leah would love us to look at those things. People are absolutely enjoying the show and are already getting requests for a part two. I want to thank you so much, and I still have to big up the NTI. I want everybody to still go over to training.nti.org.bb. All free courses, short courses, no data or Wi-Fi charges, and at your own convenience. This has been a wonderful show, Ollie and Leah. I want to thank you. I'm not saying goodbye because we're going to do a part two next week, but I want to thank you so much for all the information this evening, and you were absolutely awesome. And like Ollie said, you taught both him and I today, and we are humbled and we appreciate the knowledge you give us today. Thank you so much, ma'am. Your closing words?
My closing words, probably I'll just continue to talk about Bajan history. And thank you so much for having me on your show. I'll probably have to get with this computer resolve, probably the application Zoom resolve.
Yes, or probably no problem. We will always get it. You will always get workout. We got more than one. It's more than one way to skin a cat. As my boy Ollie would say, so we will always find a solution. Don't worry about more problems we have. We always find a solution. We ain't Texas, but we's just two men that are determined to let the public get a bit more education than they normally would. That's our mission. So I'm sure Ollie and I, we will always find a way to accommodate all of our guests. So looking forward to seeing you next week. But she said great show. Dr. Allison Leacock said great show. Thank you very much, everyone that locked on. Ollie.
Yes, sir.
As usual, I appreciate you, my brother.
One love, and appreciate you too, my brother.
Yes, enough love.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, everybody. Good night.